hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And aren't you thankful for the radio station that brings God's Word throughout the airwaves of Brevard County, bringing the message of hope and truth in Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior of the world. So this is partly made possible by the fine folks at Wyrick Air, which are based in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. They have been friends of the Refresh radio program for a number of years now, and Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales, services, repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings. Can you imagine how much things have changed in 40 years? And they're on top of all of those changes. They also provide emergency service when necessary, and they make every effort to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air, Heat, and Electric. They, like I said, they're based in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout Brevard County. And so if your AC is beginning to show some issues of struggle, or it might just need a little bit of TLC, call them preemptively. Say, hey, it's not working as well as it could, and I need you to come get this fixed before it gets really, really hot outside. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we are going to go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, and we are going to be looking at a concept of justice that you might not have been too aware of. So we're going to read not the entire psalm. We'll read maybe the first 15 verses, and then we'll touch on some other verses as we go along. It's a great psalm, great psalm. Psalm 106 is this: praise the Lord. My Bible's got an exclamation point. Now, you've got to understand that when a person came into my church years ago, their greeting was always praise the Lord. And when they would do that, I would stop, close my eyes, throw up my hands, and I would just begin to praise the Lord, because I believe that that is not just a statement, it's a command. I believe it is something that we should do. I think that we should be extremely grateful for the Lord that we have and the privilege that we have of praising His name. And if we do not praise Him, how will anybody else know that He is worthy of praise? So, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That is one of the most often repeated phrases in all of Scripture. I don't know about you, but I am extremely thankful that the Lord is good, and I'm thankful that His mercy endures forever and that His tender mercies are brand new every morning. Verse number 2, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of them who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his word. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So I want to take you to verse number 3 of Psalm 106. It is where we begin our discussion about seeking justice. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And part of seeking God's kingdom is to seek justice. And it says, blessed are those who keep justice. It doesn't say blessed are those who believe in justice. It doesn't say blessed are those who talk about justice. It doesn't talk about blessed are those who protest injustice. What it says are blessed are those who keep justice. Blessed are those who keep justice. And one thing I know is one act of injustice does not justify a subsequent act of injustice. You have to break that chain at some point in time. What it does say is that those who keep justice, who live justice, who practice justice, who everything about their life is about justice, that they are the blessed of the Lord. They are the blessed of the Lord. Can you imagine being a person who wrongs everyone that you come in contact with? You steal from this person. You lie from this person over there. You assault this person over here. There's a whole web of deception that involves in your life. Can you imagine having a list of people who are out to get you? Can you imagine what a tormented life that must be? Or the person who escaped from jail or has been on the run because they did something wrong and they're running so that so they will not face the legal consequences. Can you imagine the uncertainty of what it is like every day looking over your shoulder and saying, you know, I wonder if this is the day that they're going to find me, if they're going to, you know, if the day is the day that I face the consequences of my action. Every once in a while, you hear news stories about people who've been living, they've been living under an assumed name in a place that they never thought that they would live. They have been living a lie of a life, and yet somehow they make a mistake and somebody recognizes them for who they are, and all of a sudden it is time for them to face justice. That's not the way that I want to live. I want to live my life where I have a forgiven spirit and I'm being a blessing to those people around me, and I'm living a just and holy and righteous life. I'm not looking for shortcuts. I'm not looking for corrupt methods or anything like that. I'm looking to do life the way that God wants us to do life. That is a blessed life. Okay? Now, that doesn't have anything to do with what your bank account looks like or anything like that. You can begin living a blessed life right now. All you got to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life. A lot of people stop at asking Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And then when they get up, they go back out and they just start working on the next list of sins. That's not what Jesus, he's not Lord to empower you to sin. He's Lord to empower you to live without sinning, to keep you from stumbling, to live the life he always wanted you to live. And so I want you to see, justice is not something to be feared. Justice is something to be embraced, to live justly. There's blessings in that. There's blessings in that. It goes on in verse number 3, and it says, "And he who does righteousness at all times." There's a footnote in my Bible, and it says it could read this, "and those who do righteousness at all times." Now, there is a modern concept. I don't have the brain power to be able to do this modern lifestyle thing, and that is where they call it compartmentalization. And so what a compartmentalized life looks like is when you go to church on Sunday and you worship the Lord, that's who you are. And then you walk out the door, you leave that compartment, and you go into a different compartment, and that is the compartment where you are at work. And you can be just as true to yourself in that compartment as you were in the church compartment, even though your language isn't the same, your behavior isn't the same, the way that you treat people isn't the same. And so what they have tried to do is they have tried to define situational morality and try to feel good about themselves. And that's why you've got people who can claim to be Christians and then they're out there doing unchristian things. I want you to know the Bible does not endorse that type of life. The Bible wants us to be the same coming in as we are going out. The Bible wants us to be just as godly at home as we are at church. There have been a lot of examples through the years of ministers who were one way at church, but they were a different way at home. And kids don't like that. Kids pick up on the inconsistencies. There are a lot of Christians. You know, I've gone to church with people, and man, at church they were just pillars. But at home, they weren't the same. And those things manifest in their life. Excuse me. Those inconsistencies manifested in the way that their kids lived their lives. People need to know that you are going to be the same. Hebrews 13:8 is one of the most often quoted scriptures in the Bible because it brings us tremendous comfort. It talks about the consistency of the nature of God. So Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me ask you, how many of you would feel comfortable if this morning you woke up and you cried out and you asked God to forgive you and he said, "Whoops, sorry. You know, I was forgiving yesterday. I might be forgiving next week. Today, forgiveness is not happening." You know, we just talked on yesterday's program that he is the God who forgives. Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who saves. He is the God who heals. He is the God who justifies. He's the God who sanctifies. He is the King who is coming again. He is the one who baptizes in God the Holy Spirit. He's the same. He is available. He's accessible. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's the resurrection. He is the coming King. He is always the same. As believers, we are blessed when we not only keep justice, but we live the life of righteousness at all times. Good times, bad times, challenging times, times of financial surplus, times of financial opportunities to build faith. See, you cannot have faith if God was constantly changing. You would never be able to rely upon the fact that he is going to be what you need him to be. If you can't rely upon God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, you would have no hope. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can have faith because he will never deny himself. Even if we become faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So I want to encourage you, if you are trying to straddle the fence and you're trying to be a Christian part-time and you're trying to be a part of the world and the pleasures thereof part of the time, I want to encourage you, get off the fence and get to that place where you are consistently living a just and righteous life before God all the time. You need to be all in on justice, all in on righteousness. And as you do, you are going to find that God is blessing you. Verse number 4, Psalm 106 says this: "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance." Verse number 4 is awesome. Listen to this. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people." That's not past tense. It's not future tense. It's present tense. If, you know, we talk about Mary, that she was blessed and highly favored. Well, I want you to understand that as a child of God who is keeping justice and doing righteousness, that God is showing favor toward all his people, and that includes you. That includes you. I have a person that I know that I've had a conversation with, and he's made this statement, said, "Well, my mama prophesied over me that this was how I was going to live when I was just a boy, and this is how I live." And it's a very challenging life. And I want you to know my response to that person was this: I would make a choice to live under a different word. I would make a choice to live under a different word. I would live under the word that God is for me and not against me. I would live under the word that talks about that God can take me from a place of isolation and he can make me a person of blessing to a community. I would live under the word that God can take me from the tail and he can make me the head. I would live under the word of God instead of another doom and gloom or word of rejection that someone else has. I would remember that God shows favor towards his people. And I'm glad I'm one of his people. I believe that it is just for God's people to be blessed, and I believe it is just for God's people to be shown favor. that the grace of God operate in their life. And so the psalmist continues and he says, "Oh, visit me with your salvation." So we all tend to want to be saved. I'm thankful for salvation. David, when after he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, he cried out and asked God to forgive him, and he said, "God, restore to me the joy of your salvation." I pray that today you are not part of the miserable redeemed, but you are part of the jubilant redeemed. Those who remember that it's a joy to walk in fellowship with God. Here, the psalmist says, "Oh, visit me with your salvation." And there are three reasons that he gives in verse number 5. All three of these reasons begin with the word "that." Okay? So if you're saved, I want you to know, verse 4 says that God has favor toward his people. That would be you. So that God is favorably inclined toward you. Verse number 5, the first person or the first reason that the psalmist says, "Visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones." That I may see the benefit of your chosen ones. You know, it's always talked about that on playgrounds and when you were in grade school and stuff like that, somebody was always the last one to be chosen. And they were the last one to be chosen because they were considered to be a liability to the team. I want you to see the opposite is true when it comes to salvation. God saves us so that he can show the benefit of being one of God's chosen ones. There's a great benefit to being on God's team. And the psalmist says, "I just don't want to have the benefits available. I'm so thankful that you're going to visit me with salvation so that I get to see them, so that I get to experience them, so that I can get to benefit personally from the benefits that are available." The second "that" in verse number 5 says that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. The word "nation" simply means people group. And so when we come together, when we come together tonight at church, we're going to have a youth nation. We're going to have an adult nation. We've got different people groups meeting at our church. And when we do, we need to understand that we are not there to commiserate. We are there to rejoice. Being a part of God's people group, okay, and I believe that that people group ought to be diverse. I believe it ought to be from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. I believe that it ought to represent generations. It ought to represent every status. It ought to represent people from every relational dynamic or demographic group, every socioeconomic level. And the psalmist says that, "God, I want you to visit me with your salvation," second reason, "so that I can rejoice in the gladness of your people." Let me just put it this way. "That I may rejoice in the gladness of your people." God's people need to be filled with joy. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise." You need to be more inclined to joy than sorrow. Not saying that there won't be those moments, but there ought to be a tremendous amount more rejoicing in our lives than there is complaining. Complaining is not for people who have had their eternal sentence of separation from God wiped out. Complaining is not for those who've had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Complaining is not suited for people who have a place that is being prepared for them to spend an eternity with Jesus. complaining doesn't accomplish anything, but joy and gladness do. The third, that, oh, visit me with your salvation. First, that I may see the benefit of your chosen one. Second, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. And third, that I may glory with your inheritance. Okay? There are a lot of people and a lot of pressure that is being put upon God's people right now, to the point that there are people who are ashamed of being a Christian. You know, I'm not saying that everybody who's named the name of Jesus has represented him well, but I will tell you what God's purpose is. That God says that just as he is our exceeding great reward, we're his inheritance. We're what he longs for. And he wants his inheritance. He wants his people to be a glorious people, a people living victoriously, a people living with joy, with peace, with a personal presence of Almighty God manifesting in their life. I pray that whatever you're going through right now, that you're not going to be able to glory in your personal achievements, but you'll glory in the presence of God. Okay, that is that's really what we have to boast of. We can't boast about the things that we did in the flesh or the things that we accomplished through our intellect. None of that would be possible. Everything comes back to what God has gifted us to do. You know, one of the things that I've noticed with news stories is people love to look for news stories and find individuals who do extraordinary things, even though they didn't come from a place of extraordinary opportunity. Well, I want you to know that because of Jesus, because of his salvation, you can expect to see the benefit of being one of God's chosen ones. You can rejoice in the gladness of being part of God's people, and God is going to cause you to glory in the inheritance of God's people. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.